Welcome to Dicey Stories, where we tell stories shaped by dice. You're listening to our tabletop role-playing game, Actual Play Podcast, episode 284. Today's episode is another installment in our series, Echoes of Invasion. Set in the world of the Battle for Westnoth video game, 30-some years after the Eastern Invasion mainline campaign. It is played using Edge Studios' Genesis role-playing system, with occasional references to the Mythic Game Master emulator's event meaning tables for inspiration. For the story up to this point, visit our website, diceystories.com, where you can listen to previous episodes or read the serialized write-ups of our adventures. Now let's get rolling. We've got a story to tell. Welcome back to the Heart Mountains, to a valley therein, where Heva has medically treated the injuries from a ill-advised spider hunt. Maybe not ill-advised, but did not go according to plan. The spider hunt part went pretty fine. The necrophages showing up part, not so much. I believe Trick and Ash are still wounded to some degree.
Yep.
But a night's rest under Hepa's medical care is definitely going to clear Ash's wounds out.
That gives back how much?
5. She's level 2 apothecary town.
Yeah, that would do it.
So right now, it is late afternoon, and all the bandaging is done, and there's a merfolk here. What do you guys do?
We want to try to be respectful, because we just got cut up pretty bad.
Probably stare and wait expectantly to be introduced.
I'll wait till it looks like they've had their conversation and are enjoying the sunset, or that's what I'm wrong.
So they have some sort of quiet conversation with their foreheads leaned down together, and then Ash straightens back up again and gestures over, points you two out.
Those are the ones that did this to me. Get them!
If you want to make perception checks to, hear anything that's being said, you can.
Yes. Yes, I do.
The difficulty here is 2 purples.
I mean, Hepa might, they're looking. She probably
wave happily.
Somehow I succeed with a threat.
So what you hear Ash say to her as he points you two out is, here are some elves. Are you comfortable meeting them? And you hear her say, anyone that you feel comfortable introducing me to, I am happy to meet.
Unhelpfully supportive.
So Ash calls you two over, since he's still sitting there with his cut-up legs in the water. And he says, this is Aglana.
Aglana?
This is Hepalonia of House Randolo. And this is Trick Manu of the Water Dowsers.
Water Dows for water, recreationally.
Aglana says, there's not much call for that trade where I'm from.
There's really not much call for it until there suddenly is where I'm from.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So many questions.
Aglana compliments you, Hepalonia. It seems that you have done a very thorough job of treating these injuries.
Oh, are you a healer?
She is practiced in the healing arts, yes.
Oh, yes. Ash mentioned you must have been the one that healed him from the spider?
Yes. Yes, she cured the spider venom.
Oh, but she did that magically, right?
Are you going to start spewing magic theory questions right away, or are you...
I think...
You can make a charm check, and if it goes poorly, then you're not having a magical theory discussion.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I do that. I think the hard part is, what question do you ask? Maybe she can just be like, it's similar to Elvish magic. Maybe she knows or maybe she doesn't. Because, what's your reference point, right?
Yes.
If she doesn't know Elvish magic or human magic...
I mean, that's the same thing the humans are always telling you. We don't know anything about Elvish magic, so we can't tell you how similar they are.
Is there a light when you cast or not? Maybe that's the thing. Yes, let's try a charm check. And if I can engage her in magical theory and blow through all of the physical stuff she wants to know about mermaids. Let's see. What's the difficulty?
2 reds and a purple.
Oh my goodness.
Because she's cool.
I want to use a strike point this early.
Go for it.
Yeah, I do.
It's very important to have a...
Yeah.
She has a lot of questions that she's not going to succeed with. 2 advantages.
Do you wish to gain any insight into her as a person?
Like, because you are speaking, you are having a conversation. You're not, like, getting to the magical theory part. But
right.
You have two advantages.
Yes, as a person would be great. Or even just something about merfolk in general would be...
So, two advantages can buy you strength or flaw. Or, if you wanted to learn something about the society instead.
I was generally curious about, like, just general stuff. Not always about the person. Yeah, I think she would be more interested in, like, the society. I'm sure it could just be, like, probably she asks something that's not about magic. Now she's asking about society.
Well, if you make you ask a question about Elvish magic, she doesn't know anything about Elvish magic, so all she can really say is, well, is it Elvish priestesses who cast healing magic? Like, so that right away gives you access to, like, there's some sort of priestess structure among the merfolk, like,
right.
And then Peppa gets distracted down that line.
Right.
So what you learn from her is, sounds like there's some similarities in that it seems like casting is a female activity among the merfolk.
Right.
And that she is part of some societal system that has religious overtones among the merfolk.
Okay.
She is dressed in a green cloth around her breasts, which I mentioned that because she is clearly mammalian in the upper half of her body, not like Hazis. Hazis was very lizardy. But she's also, like, it's all decorated with shells of various forms, and she does have some things like bracelets and things like that. And as you've come over and are talking with her and she's moving and gesturing stuff, you do see that she also has some sort of kind of like netting purse, like on the side with stuff in it. And including, like, because it's all netting, you can kind of see stuff in it. It looks like she has some sort of wand or rod of some sort that kind of looks like a very elongated conch. Are conches the ones that, like, kind of have that tapered point?
I think so.
Okay. So it's kind of like a very long, skinny conch in that regards. Some sort of very long, skinny shell with some sort of circle at the top. So she seems to have an implement with her.
Right.
But you don't discuss any theory. You gain that information regarding merfolk. Trick, what sort of social interaction are you interested in?
I think he's just a... I don't know if he'd heard of merfolk.
You have only demonstrated that you have heard the term.
Okay.
And, like, early on, you were like, are the horse folk underwater? Like, are there seahorse folk? Like,
right.
You were spitting all sorts of crazy tales. I don't think... At least at the beginning of the game, Trick had ever heard anything that, like, even put a picture to what merfolk were.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, there's just only small rivers.
In your forest, there is nothing that, like, would support a merfolk society.
No, certainly not. Trick would just ask her how she likes it up here in the mountains. Like, the water's cold, I gather.
Are you planning to make a charm check? Or...
Yeah, I think so. Trick finds it odd. I guess maybe I, the player, find it odd that a merfolk is living way up in the mountains.
Okay. Two reds and purple.
Yep.
Ash is like, yes, the water's cold.
So cold. Delightfully cold. That's just a threat.
So, she does not directly address the question of what is she doing up in the mountains, sort of. She wouldn't be, like, necessarily, like, mean about it or anything. You're not taking strain because of... She's not giving you, the cold shoulder.
Maybe it's more narratively, like, she learns more about Trick. Trick's motivations or something.
Yeah. One threat's not technically enough to, like, buy one of your motivations, but Trick does babble a lot.
He does.
There is something you want her to learn about you, maybe that you're a tale teller.
I think that's probably fair.
Like, if you start, like, pitching ideas for why she lives up in the mountains, or why she spends some time in the mountains.
No, Trick will say that, no, I've horse on land, many people ride horses and ponies, but some have speculated that such creatures exist in the sea as well. I don't know if there's creatures that you can ride upon
the
waves.
Like a seahorse?
Yes, exactly.
So I suppose that is how you get derailed from your original question.
Yeah.
She says that her people do not keep steeds, that some people have pets.
What kind of pets do her folk have? Like small fish?
Well, one of our kings had a pet cuttlefish. That is not a common pet.
Does cuttlefish. Trick know what a cuttlefish is?
Yes.
Oh.
Trick doesn't have to roll to know what a cuttlefish is.
Do we fight a cuttlefish?
Cuttlefish poison, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You have encountered cuttlefish poison. Also, Knots in the Beard talked with you about cuttlefish as a threat in the rivers.
That is quite a creature to keep.
Yeah, it's not a common thing, but one of their kings did have a cuttlefish as a pet. His name was Inky.
That's a good name for a cuttlefish.
It was considered a great hero among their people, as it played a vital role in fighting off foul undead forces that had afflicted the merfolk.
Fortunately, there are foul undead across the land as well as the sea.
So she kind of looks at Ash at this point and she says, so this was none more spiders then?
I imagine Ash doesn't jump in to say anything, but... Well, it started with spiders. The spiders part went very well.
Mm-hmm.
We were prepared for spiders.
We were not prepared for the other, whatever they were.
Mounds of flesh and claws.
Ash supplies a more tactical description of them. Like, you know, Hepa describes some disgusting features of them.
Yeah, the physical,
claw. 6 feet tall, 4 feet wide, approximately 400 pounds. 400 pounds of necrophage.
But I don't think they're infectious.
They were filthy enough that they caused infection to happen in the wounds. They weren't poisonous, is what Hepa determined.
Oh, so I'm not actually thinking, if these guys die, do they turn into those? Because that was the...
Okay.
I think she's thinking about the disease.
We're going to find out!
So the disease part, I don't think so, but...
Okay. You all three contribute a description of what you saw, and Aglaana will identify it for you as a necrophage. That is what they are called.
Hmm.
She does not know how necromancers or liches construct them, but they are unnatural creatures, and they were part of the troops that set upon Jothra.
Doesn't look like they've used a lot of care putting them together.
She does not think the word care is generally applied to anything that necromancers do.
I don't know. We heard a voice in the cave that seemed strangely parental about these necrophages.
Oh, he's definitely there still.
Yeah, that person is definitely still there.
Ash says, my parents do not speak to me that way.
You probably don't eat your cousins either.
Okay, I'm neither do mine.
Mother does.
There you go.
No, he was surprisingly supportive of his children.
A little condescending.
They still live at home. They don't need to get jobs.
So, Ash asks you two if your intent is to go back and complete what we started.
I think, we have to. It's, one, we didn't get the spider venom. And that great white spider that nearly killed you is still out there somewhere with its three remaining legs. Two, I believe your charge is to identify and excise threats in these mountains, such as undead, and this would qualify for that. If there's a necromancer there, it's kind of a source that has to be dealt with.
You sound like you're making a negotiation roll.
I don't think I actually have to convince him. I think that's what Ash wants to do, but if you'd like me to make a roll, I will make a roll.
I do want you to make a roll because I feel that Trick is doing this. Ash is letting you talk. Ash doesn't really interrupt you.
That's true.
Ash asked a question, and instead of saying, yes, he, started laying out a discourse of arguments.
Yes, what is his negotiate?
Negotiation is just two purples for him. I am going to upgrade one, though.
Okay. I have one advantage.
He lets you air all of your points, and then he agrees that you can go back in with him.
That he won't just take care of it on his way back.
But you guys kind of have to, settle, a ground rules sort of thing ahead of time. You need to all agree on what your intent is going back in there. From what Aglaana has said about what these necrophages are, that is some sort of dark sorcerer or necromancer in there. Ash is like, all right, we need to go in and kill him and eradicate whatever creatures of his are still there. So if that's not a goal that you personally want to share, that needs to be aired out before you guys head into the caves.
We need to interrogate them first, because they probably have other necromancer threats.
So how much are you willing to risk in order to get an interrogation?
We need to deal with that necrophage first, I think.
Well, because of the magic.
Because of which magic?
Whatever magic this necromancer has. Lightning. I'm not sure if I know what would be required to restrain a mage, a human mage, so that they can't. Assuming he's human.
That's true. We don't know.
A mage, whatever he is, so that he can't cast, but we can still ask questions.
Oh. No. We know how to make sure no one can cast.
I know how to make so elves can't.
I mean, but...
But that's fey energy.
No. It works on other magics.
What are you talking about?
Is that Ash asking the question?
That is Ash asking the question.
But Dapper Ink Cap.
It didn't work on Catchin.
Trick's gonna make a cool check just because he was trying to avoid. Say, by the way, we know a necromancer. It's cool. Suppose I'm up against somebody's vigilance.
Yeah.
Established was not super...
Was red purple. Because so far, like, all that was said didn't imply that this is a friend of yours. It sounds like you went up against a necromancer named Catchin and tried something that didn't work.
Okay. I had success with 3 threats.
Okay. What are you going to give away?
I just didn't mean to say his name. I didn't mean to imply he was a necromancer.
Like, you keep your cool.
Yeah.
But you are... 3 threats you're giving
someone. Yeah. Trick will end up giving away that, like, there's this Catchin fellow, sage and sorcerer. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a necromancer. But Trick likes the sound of that. A sage and sorcerer who he likes to keep his magic under control, and he takes Dapper Ink Cap to do that.
But that didn't... He could still cast Fireball.
On rare occasion. I think it was a lot of work for him. But that's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I should perhaps clarify for you, at least make sure you guys understand what you do already know regarding this topic. What the Dapper Ink Cap does for Catchin is it suppresses the pinging that attracts undead to him. So it is not unreasonable for you to think that it will stop some necromantic type stuff going on, but you don't know that it would prevent that sort of thing.
Okay.
And you do know, as Hepa pointed out, Catchin was able to do arcane magic while he was on it.
Right.
He was just more tired.
Right. But it would be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it, Hepa?
Well, I really don't think the Dapper Ink Cap is the way, but could I construct something that would make him be more likely to tell us the truth?
I think...
Or formulate, I guess.
I think we have some means that can make that happen.
Okay. So, Hepa's going to try to whip up something apothecary or alchemical.
The thing is that Hepa's going to say, I'm not sure that I know enough about human magic to know what might tamp it out. If he's an elf, I would know. But if he's not an elf, I don't really have a...
Well, what's separating us from this knowledge?
We don't have any humans to experiment on, Ash says.
Right, experience. Sorry, Trick is just pushing Hepa's buttons.
I thought, like, Trick was volunteering himself to be experimented on.
Oh. To return to your previous question, Ash... I think it's a preference to interrogate this person, but not the highest priority.
All right. So incapacitate the necromancer, destroy its creatures. Those are the two activities.
I would do that in the other order, but yes.
If creatures and necromancer are present at the same time, we will have to deal with them both.
Yes. How's that sound to you, Eva? Forget the whole thing and move on.
Were you thinking of some sort of a poison or something to incapacitate the necromancer?
I mean, that might work, but they need to be able to talk.
Or just a sedative?
Write. Sedative is probably good. They're, like, drowsy. What if we just get them drunk?
Well, I might be able to construct something that we could do, like a poisoned arrow that might sedate him or a paralytic or something. I have to think of what Hepa has in her kit that could be, or if I would need the ingredients.
So essentially, in terms of mechanics, it would be a matter of whip up something that if it hits and does damage and they fail their resilience roll, they will take 5 strain.
Yeah.
Like, Hepa has some knowledge of those things because that's the kind of poison that Alric uses, and Alric told you about that. So, you don't have, the copy of the recipe from him, but you've had conversations with him about it. So you could attempt to make Alric's sedative.
So the answer to your question is, at this, like, what are you, how are we trying to do this? You're probably gonna get that it's a yes, because she's like, okay, so we're trying to do X, Y, Z.
Okay. You workshop the ideas, and it sounds like an alchemical approach to try to knock the necromancer out makes sense. You can make that roll this evening. Like, Hepa can spend several hours at this riverside campsite with all of her stuff out and bubbling over a fire.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, Trick pulls out his willow knuckles.
And it's going to be a one-time use thing that's going to get put on somebody's arrow
mm-hmm.
for taking the shot.
And Ash agrees to that? He is okay with that piece?
Yes. You have an actual, like, plan of approach, and really, Ash, like, doesn't care how this goes. He's just not used to working with people, and so he doesn't want to be surprised by anything that you guys... He doesn't view you as tricksters, but the GM does.
I think Ash doesn't like surprises is a completely reasonable personality trait for him.
Yeah.
He surprises other people.
Right.
I was the one that didn't get hurt. Somehow. You guys want to smear some dapper ink cap on you? You'll feel like crap, but they won't attack you. Oh, unless Aglana has any ideas. Did she know anything else about, like, how they might... Are they hard to make? Are there usually lots of them? Like a horde of them?
Like, yeah, we say there was three. I think they're down to one.
Or best ways to kill them?
She doesn't know how they're constructed. But her impression is that they require more work to create than a walking corpse. No. They require more work to create than a swimming corpse. A
floating corpse?
Than a floating corpse. Or a skeletal warrior would. Because in the undead armies that the merfolk fought some 30 years ago, floating corpses and skeletons were more commonly present in the armies than these necrophage creatures were. So she thinks that either they're harder to construct or they are used different tactically, at least in an army-type setting. So some guy hanging out in a cave with a few of them, she doesn't really have ideas for, like, why someone would do that. But then again, you know, she's never really understood why necromancers do what they do. It always just seems to be like they want more fuel for their armies, and that's why, I mean, that was why they tried to overrun the merfolk. You will be making a 3 purple alchemy check, and that will be what Hepa is doing for hours tonight.
Okay. Swimming undead. They must have the worst luck, because I feel like the walking ones could just walk through water forever. But maybe they get eaten by fishes?
No. Aglana says fish do not eat undead unless they are defending themselves.
So undead wolves.
Yeah, but I don't think that was because wolves were eating undead things.
Maybe they were scratched.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now she has to think about it in the water. She does succeed with 3 threads.
Ooh.
Is the alchemy want to learn one of her?
Let me see if there's suggestions.
Oh, is there a special alchemy?
Well, there's like a
times table.
There's a crafting section. One suggestion for 3 threats is reduction of duration, but that's not really applicable. Another is that the user suffers damage. Who's going to be shooting the poisoned arrow?
I can shoot it. I've got the experience with the thing. I could also prick myself right now.
No, I think it might make sense to have Hepa shoot it, since she's the one who put it together and knows exactly how it works.
Okay.
Yeah, that way I can test it properly. Yeah.
When the time comes for you to shoot that arrow, you will injure yourself.
Okay.
And I will tell you then, like, what you suffer. So it is going to be something like you're smearing it on the arrowhead, but, you know, you nick yourself with it too, or something like
right.
that.
Right.
But right now, you're just like, oh, I made a thing. Like, I can't wait to tell Elric about this. And
he used his own poison.
Trick. Hepa's yes. bubbling away at stuff. What are you doing?
I think he's talking with Ash and Aglana, perhaps. How often do they encounter necromancers or dark sorcerers or even dark adepts? Practitioners of the dark arts here.
So, Aglana generally doesn't encounter them in her rivers that she hangs out in. She has seen evidence occasionally, like sometimes a group of skeletons goes by. She, unlike Ash, does not like pursue and destroy at that point. She will say that if she were to come across a solitary undead on her own, she would... What's a good verb?
Dispatch? Put to rest?
I think what she would just say is she would blast it. But if there's multiple ones around, she is not to put herself at risk in that way. This is the way she words these things.
Right.
And Ash has not personally come across a necromancer. He has encountered groups of skeletons, some walking corpses. He told you about, like, the undead bears he came across. So he hasn't had to, like, on a personal solitary mission before. He hasn't, like, had to deal with this kind of thing. Like, earlier in his training and his youth when he was, like, going out with other scouting bands and stuff like that, 20 years ago or whatever, before he finally got his Avengerhood, he was part of a group that did come across some sort of necromancer. He doesn't really like dark sorcerer, necromancer, dark adept. Some human doing dark magics and raising undead, and we wiped them out. Westmere doesn't want that at their back door. So you fought this Catchin person, and...
No.
How many other necromancers have you fought?
No, he's not a necromancer. He's just like a regular human sorcerer, mage. Yeah.
Okay. So how many necromancers have you fought?
Well, there was all the shadow mages, who they maintained they were not necromancers. But I feel like calling forth a wraith from the ground kind of makes you a necromancer.
It's all the same thing.
In which case, I think...
Who told her that, but it was somebody.
Some woes.
Yeah. Personally, I'd say three then. Because there was a group of them that raised the wraith.
Okay. You fought Ganon, and then there was the two that were in that group.
Trick does not mention those two got away, or one of them did at least.
Right.
Yeah, like that sword.
But besides the wraith, they didn't have other undead that they were intentionally summoning. I think they were not... The magics they were using was unintentionally stirring up undead, but not necessarily.
Okay. So you've only fought them in the Grey Woods.
Yes. I'm trying to think if we did. No, we just fought and...
All the other times you guys have encountered undead, there has been no necromancer around other than Catchin.
Yeah. Catchin's not a necromancer. He was just on Tapirine Cap, so that's how...
Couldn't have been him. Walking corpses, skeletons.
The occasional ghost.
The occasional ghost. There's a time we fought the Revenant at the edge of the forest.
Okay, so you do not have any direct experience of... the actual human casting.
100%.
Other than the shadow mages in the Grey Woods.
Yeah, and they left a mark.
So the human magic, I know that they can do fire attack, they can do a lightning attack. I don't know what else is in forbidden magic, because nobody tells you what's in that.
Ash says, yeah, there is some sort of lightning type of thing, and some sort of draining cold attack.
So the lightning, the draining cold, I think we definitely want to take him down before he does that, because that corrupts the Fae energy in the area.
Well, we don't necessarily have a say in when he casts those things. We can simply attempt to take him down as quickly as possible, but as we saw earlier today, the necrophages are not...
Not to be trifled with.
But we will not be surprised by them this time.
No. Tomorrow morning, then.
Yes. I don't know that it necessarily matters what time of day...
Like, once you're inside a cave, it doesn't matter so much.
Iguana says that is something she can help with. She
can change the time of day?
In a manner of speaking.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
She pulls out what looks like a glass vial, but it's really like a thin, extremely thin shell. Mm. So you can see light glowing from within it.
What is that?
It's light.
Lightning in a bottle.
It's not lightning in a bottle, but it is light in a bottle.
Is it magic?
Yes.
It's not like a glowing plankton or something. That's what I was thinking it would be. Or
magic is just glowing plankton.
Yeah.
The whole time.
No, this is flat out magic. So, allowing for the fact that Ash typically travels stealthily and hides, this is not something that she normally thinks would be of use to him, because it produces light, like daylight. But... You know, if you are heading deep into the cave systems, you could benefit from such a thing. It's on a cord, and it can be worn around the neck, and it can be kept concealed until such a time as somebody wishes to change the lighting level in a place.
Hmm.
And in a time of desperation, it can also be shattered to release the magical energy inside if one needs to urgently cure some sort of poison or other infection. From a game mechanics perspective, it will remove a poisoned condition from somebody, but that will destroy the shell to release the magic. It is a shell vial that contains water that is luminous.
Interesting.
Zoom Ash is taking that.
Yeah, she puts it in Ash's hand and closes his hand around it. Hepa's doing all of her brewing and stuff like that. Iguana says she can attempt to make another one of these if you would like.
It sounds like that's a major investment from you. I don't think that's strictly going to be necessary. She actually has a different question unrelated to the necromancers.
Okay.
Pulls out his dowsing rod.
And he starts a magical theory discussion?
Almost.
Pep is like, I want to paint it. I have to measure things.
That's why there's a threat.
Yeah.
And I think Trick's going to try to get a sense of the water around here, because he thought it was super clean. But now that there's a creature of the water who's not trying to murder him.
That is correct. Not yet.
Not yet. How difficult would you like this
to be? We do plan to come back with Ash alive, so.
Yeah. Everchar? There's a black dye.
What are you trying to do?
He wants to assess the quality of the water so he can describe this to Eglana and see if her understanding of water quality is similar to Elvish understanding.
So it's a water theory.
Water theory discussion.
Okay. Two purple difficulty and add a blue dye.
Okay. Four successes, two advantages, and a triumph. My water theory discussion.
It's clean and clear and a little mermaidy.
Mm.
Okay. The water is indeed pristine here. This is like fed from melting snow. There's no dwarvish manufacturing pollution going on. There's no corpses lying upriver.
I mean, that is good to know.
Boxes of bad potatoes.
There's no boxes of weapons rusting on the bottom of the river.
Yeah. But also, you sense into the water and you feel different water nearby.
Oh, that water that is
the water,
not as pure.
No, no. You can feel that there is magical water nearby in what she just gave Ash.
Oh.
So, you actually, she said, this is magic and do this and that and anything. But you are now, sensing that is a magical item and it is a water-based item.
I think Trick is even confused for a few moments. We're, sensing the water, getting a read on it, and, something pulls it towards Ash and he's like, come on, focus. You can do this. Oh no, that's water. Different. Yeah.
So you have a couple of advantages. You have a triumph. Do you have specific questions you wanted answered, or do you want me to provide you with some insights that you could have?
I don't think I have specific questions. I was interested in narratively where this would go, so.
Okay. Then you're sensing some things. You're talking with Aglana about this. For the record, Ash is not participating in this conversation. Ash is sitting there, and he's maybe holding her hand or something. They are not very affectionate with each other or anything like that.
Not a word.
It's very subdued.
I don't know. I don't think Hepa's held Elric's hand, so they're practically married as far as she can tell.
But he's sitting there with her and near her and by her, but he's not talking this topic.
I envision
that does not interest him.
His legs are still in the water. He's holding her hand. He's facing the river. She's actually facing the shore and the two of us. And so he's literally not even looking at the conversation.
But so she agrees with your evaluation of this mountain water and its qualities and stuff like that. She, of course, spends a good part of the year in far more salty water than this because she's not here when the rivers ice over. She goes back downriver and then out to the ocean.
Oh, I do have. Later in the conversation, I was going to have a question. That's a little bit silly, but maybe she has some insight. Is the Ford of Abez cursed? Maybe that can be the advantages. It's cursed, right?
Are you asking in the context of are there undead there? Or is it
It's not always undead. He's heard of other things. Like, something bad always happens.
She's been there.
Whenever, and she will say, like, land dwellers try to cross there.
She hasn't been there herself, but of course she's heard about, like, there's, over the centuries, there have been some very bad Naga attacks in the area. Some sea serpents do go that far up the Great River. So it could very well be that it has gained the reputation of being cursed because there are these dangers there. She also provides some information that kind of communicates to you that there are some parallels between elvish magic and merfolk magic.
Oh, really?
In terms of elves magic is plant derived, and that is what elves listen to, the fae currents. The fae currents that the merfolk listen to are water based. So if the question comes up of, like, how did you find us? How did you know we were here? Or something like that. It's because she was in the water. So once Ash sat down on the bank, information is now available to her that he's here.
Right. That's as good as storming through the forest. And
yeah. And it makes you kind of
breaking
think,
every branch.
It makes you kind of think of, yeah, either people blundering through the forest or, like, the root network or, you know, there is a system that exists that those who know how to listen to it can hear.
She might be like a merfolk starfish.
She cut off her arms and more of them grow?
No, like
better
the
than
star.
A star. The elf star.
Oh, the rank.
That's just an interesting parallel to Trick, because he's been thinking of, like, elvish magic is the magic of stillness, and this does sound like the same.
All the water is constantly moving.
The plants are actually constantly moving, too. It's brambled.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
What about plants that just grow in the water? Lily pads.
I mean, now that you're up there and you're sitting with her and stuff, you can see that she doesn't really have hair. It really is kelp-like.
Hmm.
Her hair might be, like, thinner than kelp is, but it has the same kind of, like, slimy, like, I'm not saying she's part plant, but
right.
I'm just saying.
She's got kelp for hair.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. Does
yep.
that answer all of your needs?
I think so.
All right. Then the day ends, and we're going to roll to recover strain, because you guys are camping out on a pebbly, cold mountain side jank, so you're not just going to magically wipe away all of your strain, although all of your wounds are going to be healed by Hepa.
And second wind. Don't forget second wind.
Oh, yes.
Because now we met a mermaid. At some point, oh, she's still here when we get back from that hole, so I can do a medicine check and check her out.
What are her teeth like?
She's not going to be injured by you guys going into combat.
Well, I meant just looking at her. Or just staring at her over breakfast. I don't care.
But she's got kind of sharp teeth, actually.
She has pointy ears, though.
She does. And she's got gills. Ash has a triumph on his end of encounter roll here.
It makes him very happy that his girlfriend's here.
Yeah, there you go. He wasn't sure he'd get to see her.
All he had to do was cut himself and stick his leg in the water.
Yep.
All right, you guys bed down for the night on the shoreline. Aglaona vanishes back into the river.
She doesn't come up on the land?
She does not leave the water.
Does she have a fish tail?
She does.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we had described it or not.
I would say once you were along the riverbank and, like, actually talking with her, you would see down into the water that from the abdomen down, she has a muscular fish.
It's like scales full on.
Yeah, it's scales full on. It can bend like your knees would bend. She will come out of the water so far as to be, like, on pebbles at the water's edge, sitting next to Ash.
Okay.
So
okay.
She is capable of sitting on the top of her tail.
Right.
Like, with the bottom of her tail bent the way knees would be bent.
Right. And she doesn't go back down underwater to get breaths or whatever.
She is capable of breathing. She has a nose in okay. addition to having gills.
Yeah.
So when her head is above water, she's breathing air. And when she's below water, she's breathing water.
Right.
That's different from the Naga. The Naga did not have gills.
That's right.
The Naga breathe air.
And they are exceptionally fast swimmers.
Yes.
But maybe they just held their breath for a while or something.
I think they're more also shallow water kind of.
Yeah, because they cannot breathe water.
Yeah.
Like turtles.
And other non-fish. The Naga are more like snake, whereas the merfolk have fish components to them. Yeah, so sitting on the bank is as far onto land as she goes.
Right.
And so when you guys go to bed for the night, she goes back into the water to wherever she's hanging out these days. Then it's the next day.
Oh, mate.
You've been listening to Echoes of Invasion, set in the world of the Battle for Westnoth video game and played using Edge Studios' Genesis role-playing system. Our GM was Jen, and our players were Lex and Daniel. For the serialized narrative write-up of this adventure, visit us at diceystories.com. Our character art is by Del Borovic. See her work at delborovic.com. Our music is sampled from Return to Westnoth by Matthias Westland, a.k.a. West, licensed under CC by SA 4.0, part of the Battle for Westnoth project. Visit them at westnoth.org. Until next time, this is Dicey Stories reminding you, the only thing that separates you from knowledge is experience.